This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Saturday night get-together here on the Infinity Sports Network. Jody Mack talking plenty of football today, both pro and college. Let's go to the collegiate level right here, right now. Besides Army-Navy, which is still a quasi-regular season game. It's a game into itself, but the regular season of college football has ended, which means we've got bowl season and playoff season yet to go. A guy's been watching it all fall long, going back into the summer, as a matter of fact. Starting in August, he covers all of college football for Pro Football Focus, host of the College Football Show on Pro Focus Football's YouTube channel. Mr. Max Chedwick joins me here on the Infinity Sports Network. How's your holidays going, Max?
It's going great, Jody. Honestly, we just had Thanksgiving, obviously, getting all my Christmas presents together for my family, so that's been kind of a little hectic, but yeah, everything's good. I'm really excited for the holiday season coming up.
Exactly. Be it good food, good family, and good football. Those things go together quite well. We had, after the season, except for Army-Navy, like I said, ended, and it gets underway. First bowl games played today, go till second week of January, as a matter of fact, and all the playoffs. Sandwiched in between, they gave out college football awards, a bunch of them. Some of them pretty interesting. Some of them I didn't quite understand. What did you think of the awards given out today? If you had done the same and picked the same type of awards to give out, how much would you match up with those that went out to the individual players?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's always interesting because obviously there are a lot more college football awards than there are in really any other sport you can think of. I mean, there's really like 25 major awards that college football gives out every year. So obviously with so many awards, you're bound to disagree with some of them. And I definitely did disagree with some of them that were given out, but it's a hard process. I know because I am on a few of those committees and I do my own votes for those awards. And I know how hard it is to narrow down, you know, out of the 134 teams, who the real best players are in college football. So it will never be perfect. I'll never completely agree with every single winner of the awards, but there were definitely some that I thought, you know, should not have gone to the players they did on that night.
The only one that I ever voted for, because I'm a Philly guy and the Maxwell Club's out of Philly, and they asked me to get involved and vote for a bunch of years. Ashton Jeanty got the award this year, and the Maxwell is kind of an under Heisman award. How great a season did Jeanty have as compared to other collegiate running backs over the last 2, 5, 10, 25 years?
I think it's probably one of the best we've ever seen, and he's still got, you know, obviously more games to go, at least one more game to go. It'll be that quarterfinal game, and obviously if he wins that, he'll keep going after that. But what he did this year was preposterous, honestly. He very well could break Barry Sanders' all-time rushing record I believe he's about 130 yards away from doing so. So that could very well happen in that quarterfinal game. He's had, looking at advanced numbers, honestly, too, he's shattered a bunch of PFF records this year. Most yards after contact we've ever seen, about 500 more than the previous record holder, Jonathan Taylor. Most broken tackles we've ever seen, that's about 30 more than Bijan Robinson, who had the previous record as well. I mean, Jody, his yards after contact, which is about 1,900, that's about 300 more than anyone else's rushing yards total. So what Ashton Jeffery did this year is absolutely preposterous. And then basically any other year, I would say he's a runaway favorite for the Heisman Trophy.
Understood, and he was a lot of fun to watch. I'm an East Coast guy, so I'm watching West Coast football because I'm on the air till 2 o'clock in the morning. I saw a lot of Ashton Jeffery this year. Great season, could continue it, and he's going to be a great NFL player as well. All right, the bowls, as I said, get underway. I surely am going to ask about the playoffs, but bowls first. There are six games included in the bowls, which are also playoff games. Putting those aside, how good a bowl season is it? 36 in general. There's a lot of them, but there are some deserving teams and some teams that just about snuck in. It gives you more chance to analyze players. How good a bowl season are we looking at?
I actually think it's being better than we saw last year. I think there are actually a lot of marquee players that are not opting out of these bowl games, and that's huge. I know Cam Ward from Miami has already confirmed that he plans on playing in the Pop-Tarts Bowl against Iowa State. Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter both said that they will be playing as well. So, I mean, usually those are guys that are probably going to be top five picks in the NFL draft. Usually those kind of guys would opt out and not play the bowl games, as we've seen in recent years. But those guys are playing in it. So I think that's a really, really cool thing this year, is that you see are more players now are wanting to finish out the season and play in these bowl games more than we saw in previous years, honestly. So it's still not as good as it once was because of the transfer portal and how many guys are just not with their teams anymore. I mean, I don't know if you saw today, but Marshall had to opt out of their bowl game against Army because about 30 players from their team entered the portal. They really just could not field a roster for that bowl game, so they had to opt out of it, which is very unfortunate because they just won the Sun Belt Championship, obviously. But that's unfortunate part of the new age of college football, that these bowl games just don't really matter as much anymore for a lot of these kids and a lot of these programs. But I still think this would be a little bit better than what we saw in previous years, though.
Along those lines, for previous guys who had opted out of bowl games, you would hope they wouldn't opt out of playoffs, and you're saying many more playing this year than those that are opting out, but some are opting out as well and have been doing that for years. From an NFL point of view, do you believe teams are buoyed by those who play, are ticked off by those who don't, or look at it as, hey, we've got our evaluation, our value is one game, even at the end of the year, isn't going to change it, and it has no effect whatsoever on how they evaluate and or rate the kids. What does skipping a bowl game do for one's pro chances?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't say that I know how every team feels about it, but I know how I would feel about it if I was in charge of an NFL team. I really wouldn't care all that much. I don't think, unless it was like opting out of a playoff, you know, where you're competing for a championship. I mean, I don't really see, you know, punishing players for opting out of these bowl games. I think it's become so mainstream now, and so many players are doing it that you almost can't even look at it, you know, right? Because I just don't think that's really a talking point nowadays. So I don't really care personally. I mean, obviously as a comfortable analyst, I really care because I want these players playing these games. But if I was in charge of an NFL team, I personally wouldn't really care if a top player played in the bowl game or not.
Max Chadwick, college football analyst for Pro Football Focus, our guest here on the Infinity Sports Network. I checked just before I punched you up today. Oregon is the champ to win it all, the only undefeated team. But they're a slight champ at that, favorite at that. Texas is right there. Georgia's not far behind. You got three teams. Then there's a little different distance before you come down to Ohio State, who's got to win an extra game. How strongly do you feel about knowing who you think is going to walk away with the championship trophy at the end of the year?
Not very strong at all. I think it's a wide-open year in college football right now. I think that Oregon is the best team. I think they've proven that. They're obviously the only undefeated team that we have left in college football, and I think what their biggest strength is that they don't really have a fatal flaw. You know, I think every other team in the playoff, I could point to one or two things and say, yeah, that's not good, and if they lose, it's going to be because of that. If Oregon loses, they simply just got beat by the other team. I don't really think they're capable of losing a game themselves right now, just how well-coached they are and how good they are all over the field. So With that being said, though, I still think that it's wide open. And I think you look at the bracket right now, Oregon's got a brutal path to get to the national title game, right? They got to play the winner of Tennessee and Ohio State. They could play Texas in the round after that as well. So I think the path for Oregon is pretty difficult, honestly. And I don't think that they're a runaway, you know, clear-cut number one team in the country. I think they are the best team in the country, don't get me wrong. But I don't think it's like a 2022 Georgia where you're like, oh, yeah, nobody's beating that team. So I think Oregon's very good. I think they're certainly the favorite right now. But I think there are a number of teams that still have a really good shot at winning this championship.
It is wide open. That's why it should be a really good playoff run. We'll see when it gets underway next weekend. All right. Overall talent in this year's draft class. No, we don't know exactly who's coming out yet. Guys who are still playing, underclassmen, certainly aren't going to declare till after they're done with their season. And then we'll know who is or isn't out and have the combine and the like. But you've been doing, you're evaluating since, like I said, August. Overall class of those that you think are going to come out, we know the seniors are, and the underclassmen who are probably going to join them. How would you rate this class of players heading off to the NFL out of the college ranks next year?
Yeah, I don't think...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's as top end strong as last year. I think last year was an incredibly strong class in terms of top end talent, like the top 10 picks or so. You were getting a pretty much a guaranteed star at the NFL level. There are very few blue chip players, I would say, in this year's draft, but I do think the depth is pretty good. I don't think it's necessarily a very good quarterback class. I don't think it's necessarily a very good wide receiver class, but it is pretty strong along the offensive line. It is really good at tight end. The defensive line is really, really good in my opinion as well. I like the cornerback class, like the safety class as well. So it's a much more defensive-heavy draft than last year, where last year actually set the record for the latest that the first defender was taken. I think it was Laiatu Lata, number 15 overall, was the first defensive player taken. That will not happen this year. There are a number of defensive players that should go in the top 5 and top 10 of this year's draft. But in terms of the top-end talent, I do not think it's as star-studded as even something like last year.
Well, as the first pick in the draft, if we know who that might be, most are saying Travis Hunter. Is he considered a defensive player, an offensive player, a both? How is he going to fall into the latest defensive player ever drafted? Well, it could be the first because he could go number one. And I've talked to a bunch of people who say he's a better corner than he is a wide receiver. Number one, is that accurate in your mind that he's better defensively than offensively? And number two, when he gets to the NFL, do you think the team that takes him will let him play both ways or try and pick a side and hope to get a superstar?
Yeah, I think he's a very interesting case because, you know, you look at him and I think he is the best player in college football. I personally would have voted him for the Heisman Trophy, which will be given out later tonight. I think he will probably have to stick to one in the NFL. I think, you know, NFL playbooks are so much more complicated and so much more complex than a college playbook. I just don't know if it's possible for anyone in the NFL, let alone a rookie, to be able to grasp both of those. But I do think if you want him to play both, he'll probably be a full-time corner. and then also play, you know, 20 to 25 snaps, maybe a wide receiver or something like that. So enough where he can play like some packages, but I don't think he'll be able to do both full time. But I mean, listen, he's done it already this year. I don't really think playing this at this high of a level in college is really that possible, and he's proven me wrong already. So maybe he's got even more at the NFL level, but I would agree. I do think Travis Hunter is the best player in this year's draft. I think he's a first-round caliber wide receiver and a first-round caliber cornerback as well. He is truly a generational type football player, in my opinion.
Fair enough. All right. I do want to ask you about the coaching carousel. Some changes already made, including one down in Chapel Hill that kind of got everybody by surprise. Bill Belichick is going to be coaching the Tar Heels next year. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think it's great for college football, honestly, to get, you know, arguably the greatest coach in NFL history going down to the college ranks. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how that goes. And obviously, college football is in a very different place, but it is becoming very much more professional than it's ever been before, you know, with all the NIL and transfer portal and all that kind of taking the role of, like, free agency, really, in college football. So I think Bill, obviously a terrific coach. I'm really curious to see how he does in the college ranks and how his style translates to the college ranks and really how much emphasis he puts on the NIL and transfer portal, because really I think if you fall behind in any of those areas, it's really hard to win in today's day and age of college football. But I am very excited about it, and I think anytime you're getting an all-time great like Bill Belichick joining college football, I think it's great for the sport, honestly, and I personally cannot wait to see how he does in North Carolina.
You mentioned the transfer portal and the fact that it cost the team a bowl appearance. They decided to pull out because their coach switched teams, and Marshall decided rather than come in underhanded, they'll let someone else take their spot, which is exactly what happened. How closely do you follow the transfer portal as soon as it opens? As an evaluator, do you just wait until everybody lands and then say, all right, now I can handicap teams and I can look at who's going to be wearing a like? Or are you following it as it goes as well to just get a grasp of who's improving their team, who's losing key players? Do you get ahead of the transfer portal or wait to see how it plays itself out?
Yeah, you know, I don't really think I'd be doing my job very well if I wasn't, you know, keeping up to date on the portal, considering how critical it is to college football nowadays. I mean, even if you're looking at the guys who are Heisman finalists tonight, right? You got Travis Hunter, you got Dylan Gabriel, you got Cam Ward. All three of those guys were transfers at one point, right? And you look at the last few Heisman Trophy winners, in fact, the last 10 or so, a lot of them are transfers as well, right? So Jaden Daniels, guys like that. So, yeah, I think you have to take a bit. You have to look at the transfer portal because it is critical, and it is become a massive part of today's day and age of college football. So it is huge. And I should be following it every single day, and I am doing it every single day. It's hard to keep all the way up to date on everything because there are thousands of players that are entering it. But it is really interesting to see how these teams construct their rosters for future years. And, you know, teams like Oregon, who currently have their sights set at a national title, they're still very much looking at the portal. I mean, literally just an hour or two ago, they just got Purdue safety Dylan Thiemann, who I think could be a first-round pick in next year's draft. So even guys like Dan Lanning, who should be totally focused on this year, still have to have their eye in the portal because they have to build for the future as well.
Understood. If you are in a college football playoff and you have to deal with the portal, you're right. That coaching staff has a ton of work in front of them. All right, last thing. With the fact that we got some new coaches coming into college football, a guy like Belichick, other great ones that have already been in it, with the fact that this year they're going to crown a champion for the first ever 12-team playoff, is there any added award to being the first ever multi-layered championship program? Is it going to be something that the winner will get that much more credence for, or is it just another champion going to be winning their way into a college football championship?
Yeah, I think it certainly would, you know, have some added luster to it because there is, you know, a much bigger tournament than ever before. I mean, it's three times as big as any tournament we've ever seen in college football before. So that is another layer, too, is that, you have to survive a few games, right? It's not just winning two games anymore, or even in the BCS era, just winning one game. Now you got to prove it over a whole series of games, as many as five games, honestly, to win a national title. So it's definitely becoming a little harder. It's easier now to make the playoff than ever before, but it's harder in the fact that you need to be perfect for four or five games in order to win a national title. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be really interesting, and I'm really curious to see how these teams handle the entire month-long playoff when, you know, back then, or even as soon as last year, it was like a two-week-long thing between the semifinals and the national title game. Now we got a full month-long thing of December 20th all the way to January 20th. So it's going to really feel like a lot more like the NFL than ever before, in my opinion.
All right, Max, so you're staying on top of the portal. You're handicapping all of these games. And, oh, by the way, the 2025 schedule is already out. Did you get a hold of it and just circle a couple of games? No, I got to get to that one. If I only get X amount of road trips, that's going to be included. Have you looked at all at next year's schedule?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I will say that's the one thing I haven't really paid too much attention to. I've been kind of just, you know, only focused on the playoff and the transfer portal and recruiting that's been going on nowadays too. So, but yeah, you know, I've been very lucky to go to a lot of games this year. I will actually be going to the Notre Dame Indiana game this Friday night.
Nice.
So I'm very excited about that. So, but yeah, there are certainly a lot of games that my co-host Dalton and I, who've been going on a lot of road trips with me, we're definitely going to circle a few games next year to go to and see what games we want to go for the 2025 season.
Get through this last great month of college football this year, then you can start paying attention to next year. But glad to hear you're already on top of it. Thank you very much for being on top of it as you are and sharing your insight with us tonight. Appreciate it, brother. Enjoy the rest of the college football season.
Thanks, Jody. You too.
Max Chadwick, check him out at PFF, their college football analyst and host of their college football show. All right, Jody Mack coming back. We'll continue the football conversation. We're mixing a little basketball, some baseball stuff. Yes, all things on the table available to you. You tell me what it is you want to talk about. 855-212-4227. Get your board with the Mack man.